Hello, Rock and Roll Rebels, and welcome to another episode of Ramble On with Rosie. This week we have the very special incident that doesn't happen very often, in which I get to discuss some new music. Mickey Lee's Mutated Music just dropped a new album last week. For those of you not in the know, Mickey Lee is Joey Ramone's younger brother, but that is a fact I am not going to be bringing up any more than I have to during this ramble, because, you know, he needs to be respected for his own independent musical career and not, you know, stuffed into Joey's shadow, which is a long shadow to be, you know, try and get out of. So, you know, he was playing music kind of almost before Joey was, so he's a good musician in his own right, and we're gonna discuss his latest musical output this week. So, the album is called Variants of Vibe, and it's Mickey Lee's Mutated Music is the full band name. And so I'm just gonna break it down track by track like I do when I break down an album. And all the songs, unless I state otherwise, are written solely by Mickey. There's a few that aren't, and I'll discuss those when I get to them. But just digging it into it right now, kicking it off with the first track, is this song called Little Christine, which has a very sort of 50s, 60s rock and roll vibe, but like punked up. So think like Tommy James vibe, but, you know, with that gritty punk sound. Because, I mean, punk being initially conceived as a revival of old rock and roll styles of the 50s and 60s. This is totally, you know, in that vein. It's just a good time tune, with lyrics that are just sleazy enough to raise an eyebrow, but it's still a sweet song, so that's also well done. I love it when an artist can sort of walk that line between too tawdry and, you know, just sort of vapid. So, well done there. The second track is called It Felt Like Love, which I have to thank my father for making me aware of many years ago, the Cheech and Chong sketch about dog crap, because Mickey Lee is in fact parodying that particular Cheech and Chong sketch when he's going on about it looked like love, smelled like love, tasted like love, felt like love, sure glad I didn't fall in it, being a total parody of the Cheech and Chong sketch about looking like dog poop and smelling like dog poop and tasting like dog poop, and I'm sure glad I didn't step in it. So, or rather, good thing I didn't step in it. Same way it's good thing I didn't fall in it. I misquoted, but that being the thing, I'm like, I love how Mickey just, you know, throws in a Cheech and Chong reference for the heck of it. Like, who other artist is that clever these days? I mean, that's in that fun, make fun of everything vein that, you know, all good punk music should be. Nothing's too lofty to, you know, not be drugged down to the common man's level and made fun of every now and then. So, I love the, you know, the cleverness of it too, where he's, you know, mimicking the Cheech and Chong sketch where it's about love, and I was like, this is so clever and so good, and I wouldn't have known about this had my dad not told me about that sketch. So, well done, Dad. Gotta give him credit here. Otherwise, I would have completely missed this reference. And once I heard it, I was like, I understand that reference. I felt so good. And it's not the only clever lyrical use that he does in the song It Felt Like Love. He also sort of uses engaged with a double meaning, because there's a line about, we got engaged in a bloody fight, which can either mean, like, they got engaged while they were fighting, as in engaged to marry, or like got engaged as one engages in battle. So, all in all, even though like the melody isn't particularly outstanding, the lyrics make it a very memorable song, and it just makes you kind of giggle, especially if you're in on the Cheech and Chong joke. The third track is Trouble Man. Is not a cover of the Marvin Gaye song, just to let y'all know. It actually kind of has a vibe like Free. Free, the band from the late 60s and early 70s, has a song called Seven Angels. And this song, while less bluesy and much faster, does have some similar lyrical allusions about, you know, angels and, you know, sort of contemplating life and distress and a bit of the blues going on lyrically, if not, you know, melodically. And they both have this ominous guitar sound in parts, so it made me think of Seven Angels. I have no idea if Mickey Lee has ever even heard Seven Angels by Free. I mean, he's been listening to music for quite some time, so he probably has, but probably hasn't either. It's a fairly obscure track, but it's also one of the Free track is. This track, Trouble Man by Mickey Lee, is one of the more aggressive tracks on the album. Like, it's got a really, you know, sharp, aggressive, you know, for lack of better terms, edge to it. It's really, if that's your style of music, you'll like this one. The next track was actually like the first single off the album, and it's called No Fun Anymore. And it's got, especially at the opening, it's got a little bit of a Dictators vibe, like a softened down Dictators. And I think it's really good. I can totally understand why they made it one of the singles, because it's a really good song. And it's surprisingly a lot of fun for a song about not having any fun. And in a way, it seems to be discussing, and this may just be me reading too much into the lyrics, as I sometimes do, but it seems to be sort of discussing the sort of lack of joy, you know, the overall malaise that modern Western society currently is in, and has been in for a while. And this isn't totally out of reach, because that's something that Stevie Van Zandt, who owns Wicked Cool Records, on which this album was released, has discussed in interviews and also in his book, Unrequited Infatuations, which if you haven't read it, you should totally read it. And so I'm like, huh, I wonder if Mickey Lee and Stevie Van Zandt just sit down and discuss how the world's no fun anymore with each other. Maybe they do. Maybe that's where the song, you know, got birthed out of a conversation. Who knows? I know that those two know each other. In fact, Van Zandt left one of the better, one of the more articulated reviews of the biography that Mickey wrote about Joey Ramone. And obviously Joey and Stevie knew each other from the Sun City sessions and other things. So I was like, maybe they kick it around, chew the fat, and talk about, you know, why everybody's sort of semi-depressed these days. I mean, one look at the news explains a lot of it, but moving on from that philosophical maundering to the next song, which is Go Home Anne, which was actually co-written by Mickey Lee with Dee Dee Ramone. So it's been around for a while, because Dee Dee's been gone for, well, like, going on 20 years now. And it was a B-side to Bonzo Goes to Bitburg, back when that came out in the 80s. And while Mickey sings it with a little less aggression than Joey, the mood that Mickey captures is really good. It's got, I don't want to use the word ominous again, but it's got this sort of, not even mysterious, but it's somewhere in there. It's that kind of vibe that he pulls. Like the strength of the mood of the song is stronger in Mickey's version than the Ramones version, if you're asking me. And that may be a partial prejudice, that it just doesn't suit the Ramones, and especially Joey, to be singing a song about, like, basically using and leaving some girl. Like, it's a complete polar opposite of all the songs that Joey writes when Joey's writing on matters of romance and love, because he was the one who wrote all of the, you know, super cute, fluffy love songs. So that's why I associate him with. So even though he didn't write this one, it was a Dee Dee and Mickey composition, I'm like, it doesn't sound right having Joey sing about this, because it's the complete opposite of all the other stuff he always sings about when he's singing about romance. I was like, let's face it, the Ramones songs usually fall into the category of very simple, idyllic 50s-60s romance, you know, love song vibes, or mental illness. Usually it's one of those two. Or Nazis, you know, that's a small little subcategory. So I'm like, doesn't quite fit the Ramones vibe, to me at least, to be singing about, you know, sort of deceiving a girl into going to bed with you and then telling her to get lost in the morning. I was like, that's way too callow. But Mickey does a really good job of it. It has a lot of atmosphere to that song. So it's really well done. In fact, some of the way that he phrases the repetition of Go Home Man in the, I guess you'd call it the chorus. I'm not exactly quite sure if it's the chorus or refrain, whatever the official musical term for that is. The way he repeats Go Home Man almost has a bit of a, like, traditional folk song vibe to it. Like, all in an exact sense, like Whiskey in the Jar, but if you think about that or any other old traditional folk songs that you may know that are slightly up-tempo, I quote Whiskey in the Jar because most people know it because the Thin Lizzy version. I listen to a lot of obscure folk music, as I discussed in my last episode of Thundercrack Thursday, and I discussed a little bit even in last week's episode where I discussed my lifelong love of Irish folk music. So, like, it's what I'm trying to refer to without knowing the exact terms or having a definite point of reference beyond, I assume, a lot of people have probably heard Thin Lizzy's Whiskey in the Jar. But sort of that repeated refrain, like the old traditional folk songs do, Mickey kind of pulls in some of that vibe when he does it, which isn't there when Joey's singing it in the Ramones version. So I'm a fan of that, or maybe I've just been listening to too much folk music lately. I've gotten back on my my Irish kick. Needless to say, obviously, next month being Irish Heritage Month, and I'm going to be discussing a lot about Ireland. I'm like pre-gaming for that, so I'm here for it, and I may have just like heard something that wasn't there. But regardless, I heard it, so, you know, I appreciate that, whether that was intended by Mickey or not. Now, the next song is called Spanish Eyes, and I know it's not a cover of the Bruce Springsteen song. It's really good, though. It was actually written by Joey and Dee Dee, so it's another... This one's a full-on cover versus Go Home Man, which was a co-write between Dee Dee and Mickey. This one was solely written by Joey and Dee Dee. And there's an unreleased version that you can find on YouTube. Mickey actually, like, released it on Facebook a while back, and then it got put up on YouTube, which is easier to find it there. And it's really good. Like, the lyrics are, you know, right in Joey's usual vein of really, you know, sweet, idyllic, classic romanticism. But if you listen to the Ramones version, I don't know for sure when it was done, but I'd place my bets on it being near the end of Joey's life, you know, whenever the latter times he got to go into a recording studio and record anything, because he was planning a solo album when, you know, he was dying of cancer. So I guess it would be around that time, because his voice seems to be lacking in its usual strength, you know. So I'd say, if I had to guess, you know, the song was written in, like, the late 90s, you know, right before he went to the hospital for the last time or something is when it got recorded, the Ramones version. Obviously, this version just got recorded and put out by Mickey Lee this year, and it's really good. I enjoyed it. Lyrically, it's, like I said, it's great. Mickey's version is a little edgier than the Ramones version, and he delivers, honestly, some of his best vocals on the whole album. Like, his voice is really good on this song. Has a lot of, you know, he's singing in a deeper sound and does it really well. Now, the song after that is Loneliness, which I sort of did a double take when I first heard, because it has a very strong solo Duff McKagan vibe. Like, if you've ever listened to Duff McKagan's, I want to say it's off of his first solo album. Like, when I binged Duff's solo career. I just sort of like, I think I had it on shuffle. But there's a song that has a very similar kind of feel to this song, Loneliness by Mickey Lee. And I'm pretty sure it was off of Duff's first solo album. So that's probably sheer happenstance, a coincidence, because Duff's solo album is not something that gets widely rotated. Not saying Mickey's never heard it, but I'm not saying I would have listened to it had I not, had Duff not been, if Duff wasn't my favorite member of Guns N' Roses. And low-key kind of cute, but that's beside the point. So I'm saying, like, that they're similar in vibe, probably because they share a lot of similar influences, slash also Duff was influenced by the Ramones. Look no further than his, you know, usual shirt when he was in Guns N' Roses in the late 80s and early 90s. It's usually Ramones or the CBGB shirt. So he knew where to go for good inspiration, and obviously Mickey lived in those scenes, kind of, so he knew all the stuff, so it's probably just a shared influence. But Loneliness was also, it wasn't written solely by Mickey, it was written with his former Birdland bandmate and writer, Lester Bangs. So, who's to say where the influences came from, but the similarity that was like caught my ear a little bit. And it's a kind of gritty, slow song, really good. Got a lot of clever word pictures, and it's definitely a solid tune on the album. Now the next song is really, really good. It's called The Stories That Never Got Old, and it's hilarious because both my best friend and I, because I had her listen to this album just so I could hear her thoughts, and she literally texted me. She's like, "Is Stories That Never Got Old about Joey?" And I was like, I strangely had that exact same thought. So we had the same thought separately of going like, did he write this song about his brother? Because there's a few lines with like kind of tragic allusions. And in the chorus, he literally has this line that says, "I want to write a book about you," which Mickey Lee did write a book about Joey Ramone. It's like the best extant book on Joey Ramone. And I think it'll be kind of impossible to top given it was written by a close personal family member. Just saying. Also, apparently they're making a Netflix show or movie about it, starring Peter Davidson, which I am iffy on. That's just me being cynical. I'm like, not sure how I feel about that casting, but we'll see how it goes. At least he has, like, New York origins like Joey would, so maybe he can get the accent right, if nothing else. But anyway, so that line, the overall vibe of the song, I was like, is this about Joey? So I don't know whether Mickey wrote the song about his brother or not, but it definitely is a great song. Same way as the book about Joey is a really good book, and I highly recommend anybody reading it. Just have a tissue box handy near the end. It's not pretty. If y'all ever saw my Instagram story after I finished the book, it's not pretty. But regardless, great song. And the chorus part definitely has this good, like, air-punching concert vibe to it. Like, I feel like it'd be a great song, if he takes this album, you know, if he does a tour to support this album, which I hope he does. The likelihood of it reaching my part of the country seems negligible at best, but one can hope. I'm like, come on, don't forget the Midwest / you know, South, western part of the South, whatever you want to call Texas, exists. And don't go to Houston and Dallas, because I can't make it there. But my logistical problems aside, especially Houston, I refuse to go to Houston. But yeah, logistics of concerts aside, I would love to see him go on tour with this album, because even if I couldn't go see it, I'd totally recommend anybody else going to see it, because the songs are really good, and definitely kind of concert energy I could see very easily coming out of them. So, like I said, Stories That Never Got Old definitely has some, like, fist raised, punching the air kind of vibes to it. Regardless, and it also has some very well-written, tender, bittersweet lyrics. So it's that good sort of mix. It's not at all similar to, like, Bruce Springsteen in any way, but he's doing the same thing where it's sort of like, you know, you kind of counter the sadness of the lyrics by putting them in this really, high energy melody. So definitely good song. If you can't tell, it's one of my favorites off the album. The next one, Standing in the Dark, which was, excuse me, also a single off the album, has a really strong Tom Petty vibe. Like, overall, Mickey's voice does, like, if I had to compare his voice to anybody's, because I have been lately this week trying to describe this album to people, Mickey Lee's the only the artist his vocals resemble strongest, I would have to say, would be Tom Petty. When I was describing him to somebody, I was like, it's like Tom Petty with sprinklings of Duff McKagan and Elvis Costello. But definitely the heavy Tom Petty sort of foundation to it. So this song, he isn't just singing a bit like Tom. The melody even has a Tom Petty vibe to it. With the opening of the song kind of feeling like that highway driving Tom Petty, American girl-ish Tom Petty sound, but more urban. So like rather than a country highway, or interstate like Tom Petty's taking you on when you're driving 80 miles to, down an hour down the road, this is more of like the urban Midwest, I mean not Midwest, urban expressway vibe instead of the empty country highway. But and it's also got a really good guitar break, so it's another really good track off the album. The next one is I Got a Message for You. It was written by Mickey and his former bandmate from Stop, Neil Benezra, which, side note, that may be the most take the cringe last name I have ever read in my life. Benezra, I think, takes the cake. But regardless of, that Stop, I don't know a whole lot about the band. Mickey talks about a little bit in his book. But this song is probably the hardest song on the album, even more so than Trouble Man. So whatever Mickey and Neil were doing in Stop writing this song definitely seemed to have a harder edge to it if this is the same arrangement as they used back then. It's really hard to find any of Mickey's earlier stuff. It's like not on Spotify. Like I went to go find stuff for his band, the Rattlers. It is not on Spotify. I didn't look up Stop because I kind of forgot he had that band. So it's just finding anything previous by Mickey to compare his current and latest release with is difficult because his musical career was not really hugely or even remotely commercially successful. So other than the sibling rivalry, I don't even think it was an album. I think it was just an EP that he did with Joey. Finding some previous Mickey Lee musical contributions on Spotify, which is where I tend to listen to music the most, is really difficult. So I'm simply going off of comparing him to other artists because I can't compare him to his past very well because finding the music from his past is challenging to say the least. Now, the next song is When the Truth Is on Trial, and it may be like the strongest album. I mean, the strongest song on this album. It's got such a very evocative mood, and it just pulls you into it. Like, he creates this really intense mood with the music, and his voice kind of varies from sweet to almost menacing. And the melody does the same, but not necessarily at the same points that his voice is doing it. So it just really it's a really engaging song melodically and the lyrics too. So overall it's just like a whole, experience. And musically it's got a bit of a grunge vibe, but it still feels very original. I'm just, trying to compare it to known things, and it's kind of got like that 90s grunge vibe a little bit, but definitely still Mickey's own stamp is on it. He's doing his own thing, and it's really good. The next song is The Brave Old World, which is an upbeat ditty. I really enjoy it. I like things with clever lyrics, and this one, the lyrics are in entirely, or not entirely, but mostly, like, making opposites, you know, like the title suggests, with Brave Old World instead of Brave New World. And so there's a lot of things that are amusing because it's, you know, pairing opposite things with each other in the same way that you would, you know, in a common saying. I'm trying to think of some examples, but honestly, just listen to the song and you'll get it. It's, like I said, really clever lyrics going with there, and also an incorporation of saxophone that would make Bruce Springsteen proud. So, yay, somebody using, you know, a saxophone in a rock band. Because outside of Bruce, I can't think of a whole lot of artists who do that terribly often. So, I was happy to hear that. I was like, yes, nod back to the early, you know, 50s and 60s and first generation of rock and roll that definitely used the saxophone more than rock music currently does. And another fun song in the next one is Lost in Space, which honestly sounds more like a Ramones song than the Ramones song, or than the songs that were written by members of the Ramones that he covered on this album. It's got such a Ramones vibe, which of course I love, because I love the Ramones. And, like, the lyrics even have, like, the sarcasm to them. I'm trying to think of some of the clever lines, but that really clever, biting sarcasm that the Ramones sort of did in their lyrics really well. And it's got the hard-driving guitar, and there's even a line about, you know, being an animal, which sort of reminded me of Animal Boy a little bit. You know, I was like, ah, I wonder if Mickey is taking a nod to the Ramones album there. And if it's not a reference to that album, it's fine. The opening of the next song is definitely a whole Ramones reference. Like, there's no escaping it when someone rapid fire shouts out 1, 2, 3, 4, what band they're referring to. So the final track, La 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 La, begins with the barked out 1, 2, 3, 4, and is just so clever and humorously anachronistic, because the melody is this really upbeat, acoustic, folksy sound with hand claps while Mickey sings about not wanting to hear anybody's motherfucking shit anymore. And I was like, this song is a mood. I love things that are, you know, anachronistic like that, where they pull in, do opposite things. You're like, this is not what I was expecting, and it's great because of that. Which is a lot of cleverness and humor on his part, and some of what's kind of lacking in, you know, pop music. Not to get on that tangent, because the Ramones covered that tangent plenty in their own lives, and they've been dead for 20 years, and the music scene has not gotten any better, really. So I won't go down that rabbit hole. But it's a really good song. I mean, they all are, for the most part. I mean, even the weaker ones are still enjoyable. Obviously, no album is ever going to have, like, 100% bangers and hits, but they all have, you know, some positives, especially, you know, depending on your taste in music. And I like to highlight those rather than trying to be the nose in the air music critic who criticizes unconstructively. I was like, if something could do with improvement, and I saw or heard that rather, then yeah, I'll say that. But I'm not gonna just rag on something for the sake of sounding self-important. So that was my take on Mickey Lay's Mutated Music, which I highly recommend everybody checking out, because it was a really good album. And also, even if you just think it's a so-so album, it's worth listening to and sharing, because, you know, well, not to get back on the bandwagon, but pop radio is not playing good old rock and roll anymore. So sharing the underground releases is the only way to keep rock and roll alive, / these artists still putting food on their table. They have to eat at some point. So definitely listen to the album. Feel free to comment with your own thoughts. I would love to hear some other people's responses to this album, and I'm curious how they felt versus how I felt, and who and what y'all compare this latest musical output with. So, by all means, hit me up on Instagram or drop a comment wherever on my YouTube channel, and I will happily discuss it, because I'm like, yes, new music. That's actually new, not just I discovered a song from 50 years ago that I didn't know, but new music. So that's exciting. And on a tiny side note, footnote here about discovering new music, I discovered the Train Song by Bruce Springsteen this week on E Street Radio, and I highly recommend everybody looking it up because it is a trip. It went to a very dark place very unexpectedly, and I love it for doing that. I love unpredictable things. So, go check that out, and more importantly, go check this whole album out. So, check out a Bruce Springsteen song and a Mickey Lee album, and that is your quest for the week. But more importantly than all that is to be kind to each other. It's a rough world out there right now. So be kind, be loving, and rock on. And I will talk to y'all next week, which is in March. So get ready to hear about Rory Gallagher and all things Ireland next month, because I'm stoked. Anyways, have a great week, y'all. Rock on.